Turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege you've given us this morning of worshiping your Son Jesus and meeting with fellow saints this morning. And now, God, the responsibility has been laid upon us to preach the word. And I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would enable us to do so. And I pray, Father, for every person today, God, that they would be able to truly hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Let us hear the voice of Christ as he speaks to our heart. Lord, I pray you would encourage someone today. Yea, that you would save someone today. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm going to preach on this thought, Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. The prison of doubt. And I'd like to say this morning, praise God, I'd like to see somebody set free from the prison of doubt. In the first 10 chapters of the book of Matthew, Matthew gives us a revelation of the King of Kings. He's presenting Jesus as King. And one by one, Matthew presents to us witness after witness accounts that Jesus is the King. But beginning in chapter 11, you'll begin to see the rebellion to the King of Kings. And you'll see one by one different folks who come in a type of rebellion to the ministry of Christ. Now, if I was writing the Bible, would have left out those difficult passages. I would have left all those things out about folks were committing blasphemy and doubting. I left all that out. But see, it's the Word of God. And God deals with us, we that are doubters. And from time to time, every one of us, just like a tug of war, you'll be involved in some type of doubt, no doubt. Amen. So when we look at the scripture this morning, you have to understand that as Matthew presents this doubting, this is the first negative response to the ministry of Christ, doubting. And it comes from the most unlikely of candidates. If it would have been me, no problem. But it comes from John the Baptist. And Jesus said that the greatest born of women, John the Baptist. So let's look at it a little bit closer this morning. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, the reality of doubt. Doubt will cause you to stumble. Doubt will cause you to be shaken. Doubt will snare you. I want to look at Luke 12 and verse 29, what Jesus said at the end of the verse. He said, Neither be ye of doubtful mind. The word here in the Greek literally means to be suspended in midair and your life is based on nothing. He said, neither be ye of doubtful mind. That will shake you. That will ensnare you. That will trip you. It will cause you to stumble. It will cause you to be suspended in midair, not on solid ground. There is the reality of doubt. Understand what's happened here in Matthew 11. Jesus has sent his 12 disciples out on another short-term mission project. Jesus is alone, and he departs to go and teach and to preach even without his disciples. And he's approached then by the disciples of John the Baptist, the followers of John. They come to Jesus. Why? Because John has heard from a prison cell that Jesus is teaching and preaching and folks are receiving mercy. And John in the prison cell says to his two disciples, he said, I want you to find out, is Jesus really the Christ or not? Look at verse 3, the question. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That is an amazing statement this morning. The reality of doubt by the most unlikely of candidates. I want us to think, first of all, about the certainties that John the Baptist had. Certainly, according to his promised birth, John was supposed to be great in the sight of the Lord. You think about the privilege that he had. He was the forerunner of the Christ. He went to prepare the way before Jesus. Think of his popularity. He preached and thousands of people in Judea and Jerusalem were saved. I want you to realize that he had profession after profession, and he even baptized Jesus himself. Now, we've got to baptize a lot of people, but I've never baptized God. And you think about that. John baptized God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And John the Baptist baptized God. Listen what John the Baptist, what this proclamation he made. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a statement. He was very certain as to who Jesus was. In fact, when John, when his disciples came one time and said, all men are following Christ. You know what John said? He must increase and I must decrease. John was very certain that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I ask you this morning, are you certain that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. I am certain. But the reality of doubt set into John's life, we see some uncertainties. What do you mean, preacher? According to Mark chapter 6, verse 18, John the Baptist preached to King Herod, and he said, it is not lawful for you to have thy brother's wife. In other words, he had taken his brother Philip's wife and was committing adultery with her. And the man of God preached against adultery. And they arrested John for it. And they put him in a prison cell for preaching the word of God. And upon his imprisonment, probably the best I can study, been there about a year, when he hears that Jesus is still preaching and teaching and folks are being sent mercy, he sends his two disciples from the prison cell and says, go ask him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I want to submit to you this morning that at that point in time in John's life, he had some doubts. A man who was so certain began to express doubt. You may say, preacher, it'll never happen to me. Well, if it happened to John the Baptist, who's the greatest born of women, it could possibly happen to you. And it will numb your life, it will shake your life, and it'll begin to cause you to stumble. It is just possible that I could be preaching to someone today. Yes, you believe you're saved.
Yes, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you have some doubts right now that he's going to help you in the situation you're in right now. It may be some of you are doubting your salvation. It may be some of you are doubting that Jesus is the Son of God. I promise you, there is the reality of doubt. Number two, there are some reasons for this doubt. Some reasons. Preacher, can you give me some reasons why John the Baptist would have doubted? Number one, he was going through a valley of discouragement. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, John was imprisoned for doing the right thing. Most people are put in prison because they're criminals. But John was doing the right thing. He was suffering in the will of God. Look with me in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse number 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. What a blessing. Look back at chapter 3, verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. 1 Peter 3, 17. 1 Peter 4, 16 through 17. I want you to know this morning that you and I may have to go through some suffering. And when you enter a time of suffering, discouragement could come to your soul. And when you get discouraged, you are prone to begin to doubt some things. John began to doubt because he was discouraged, sitting in a prison cell for almost a year. The second reason John was beginning to doubt was because he had entered into a time of disappointment. You may say, Preacher Darren, I'll never be disappointed with Jesus. Isaiah 61, verse 1. I just wonder if your statement is true. Let me tell you something. Jesus will never disappoint any one of us. He'll never disappoint us. But John the Baptist felt disappointed. Why? I want you to see Isaiah 61. Look with me in the first verse. This is a prophecy about the Messiah, and John knew the Word of God. Listen to what it says. Very, very clearly get this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. This is a passage, hold your place here and go back in Matthew 11. This is a passage that describes the ministry of the Messiah. John sent his disciples and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Look what Jesus said in Matthew 11. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These were all signs that Jesus was the Messiah. These were all signs that were from the Old Testament prophets. But John the Baptist is disappointed. Preacher, I don't get it. That should have verified the ministry. Back to Isaiah 61. There's one thing that's not happened. Look at the end of the verse. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. They arrested John the Baptist for preaching the word. Didn't like his message, and they threw him in jail. And can you see John, as they incarcerate him and slam those bars in front of him with the chains on his hands and on his shackles on his feet. He sits there and says, "It's okay. Lock me up if you want to. But behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He will open my prison door. He will get me out of this prison that I'm in." He said he'll be here anytime. And seconds turned into minutes, and minutes turned into hours, and hours turned into days, and John is still in that prison cell. And every day that passed, John began to be disappointed. He said the Messiah would open the doors of the prison to those that are bound. Where is he at? Did you know that in all the Word of God, I cannot find one place where Jesus even came to the prison to minister to John? Where is he at? I tell you, you do the same thing. My bills aren't being paid. I have this worry. We have this sickness. I hear of others who are being healed. Why am I not being healed? The devil jump on that and say, he's not really the Son of God. He's not really the Christ. He's freed all these other people. Why does he free you? We didn't free John the Baptist. John the Baptist has become disappointed that Jesus didn't show up to his prison cell. Am I talking to somebody today? You're in a prison of suffering. You're in a prison of sickness. You're in a prison of financial difficulty. And your outlook is so glum and gloomy. You begin to even doubt, is Jesus really the Son of God? Where is he at? I'm preaching to somebody this morning. John had doubt because of discouragement. John had doubt because of disappointment. Thirdly, John had doubt because of disillusionment. What does that mean, preacher? He believed one thing, this was his vision, and Jesus was doing something different. Go back to Matthew 3. I want you to see this. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist, one of the greatest preachers ever. John preached to the people. He said, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John preached that message. He's preaching judgment. He said if you don't bear good fruit, you're going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Look at verse number 11 at what John preached. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist is a fiery preacher. Look at the next verse. Verse number 12. Whose fan is in his hand? He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What did John preach? Judgment, fire, judgment, fire. He's one of those hellfire and damnation preachers. That's John the Baptist preaching about the coming of Jesus. Now he sits in a prison cell discouraged and disappointed, and he's hearing about Jesus. The Bible said he heard about Jesus in the prison cell. What did he hear? He heard that Jesus was extending mercy. Wait a minute. Fire! 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 Fire to the Gentiles who oppress us. Fire to the... Jesus came, and to the Roman centurion's servant, he sent mercy to him and healed him. to the Syrophoenician woman that was a Gentile outcast when her child was grievously vexed with the devil. He had mercy on the child and healed the child. John's preaching fire, and Jesus is extending mercy. You see, John's disillusioned. He doesn't understand. Why is he not backing up my preaching? Oh, but he is backing up your preaching. There is judgment coming, but first there'll be mercy. Hallelujah to God for the mercy that Jesus has shown us. Bless his holy name. So there's three reasons that John the Baptist began to doubt. Discouragement, disappointment, disillusionment. Mercy to the leper. How in the world could it be? He's unclean. Mercy to the sinners and the publicans and the tax collectors. How could it be they're not worthy? Hey, it wouldn't be mercy if we were worthy. We've seen the reality of doubt. And we have seen the reasons for doubt. I want us to look at Matthew 11 at the response to doubt. So John is sitting in the prison cell. And instead of wondering and worrying, he's turned his efforts towards getting an answer from the Lord. Look at me. If you're here today and say, Preacher Darren, I have some doubting going on in my life. I hate to admit it, but I have been discouraged. I hate to admit it, but I have been disappointed, and I know I shouldn't have. But he didn't answer my prayer the way I asked him to. It was done differently. I'm a little disillusioned about things, preacher. And I have some doubts. And preacher, it seems like they flood my soul from time to time. What's the response to doubt? Jesus, in verse 4 again, he began to give assurance to John. He began to say, hey, the poor are hearing the gospel. The lepers are being cleansed. The lame are walking. Hey, miracle after miracle, they're taking place. Just like the word of God said, there is assurance. Look at verse 6. Jesus said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't be illusioned, John. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. He said, I want you to believe me no matter what your eyes see. I want you to believe me no matter what your ears hear. I want you to believe me no matter what your heart feels. John, I want you to believe me no matter what you think in your mind. Just trust me. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I'd be a different Christian if I'd simply trust him beyond how my mind thinks and how my heart feels. And beyond what my eyes see, he began to give assurance to John. The Bible says in verse 7, and as they departed, here they are, they've got the message. They're going back to tell John the ministry of Christ is the ministry of the Messiah. And listen to what Jesus says to the crowd. Can you imagine? There's a crowd of people, and in walk two men, and says, John wants to know, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Can you imagine the crowd saying, can you believe that? John's the greatest preacher we've ever heard outside of this man, Jesus. And he's doubting. He's disappointed. He's discouraged. Oh, no. Can you imagine how the crowd begin to talk? Listen to what Jesus does. Not only does he give him reassurance, but he gives him affirmation. He says to the crowd, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Hey, you know how on the creek banks them reeds grow and the wind hits them and they just lay right down? He said, let me tell you something. John's not some little old reed that's just going to break off and quit because the wind's not blowing his direction. He said, what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Let me tell you something. He was dressed in camel's hair. Hey, man, he ate wild honey from the locust trees. He was a man that didn't even have the proper dwelling place. He's not a soft man. He's a man that had a vision for God. He had godly grit in his life. What went you out for to see? A prophet? He said, yea, I say more to you than a prophet. He is the last Old Testament prophet. He says, behold, he said, this is he of whom it's written, behold, I send my messenger before my face. In other words, he's a type of Elijah that would come before Jesus was born. You remember what happened to Elijah when he defeated the prophets of Baal up on top of Mount Carmel and the fire of God came down? You remember that? And old Jezebel got mad and threatened his life. And the Bible said Elijah went a pretty far journey. And the Bible said he laid down under a juniper tree and he said, oh, God, it's enough. I am not better than my forefathers. I'm ready to die now. Elijah got discouraged. He got disappointed. He was weary and fatigued from the fight. And he got into a place of discouragement. If you sit here today and look me square right in the eye and say, Preacher Darren, it'll never happen to me. I've got more God than that. I've got more godly grit. Hey, if it happened to John the Baptist, and if it happened to Elijah, you could be attacked with it as well. Preacher, what am I going to do to get over it? Look what Jesus did. He gave John assurance. You need assurance as to who Jesus is. You need assurance as to your walk with Him and your relationship with Him. Preacher Darren, how can I get it? From His Word and from His Spirit. He will give you assurance. And look at the affirmation that He gave. Hallelujah. Then there's acceptance. Verse 11. Listen to what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Hear me. When John said the worst thing he could say about Jesus, I'm not sure. I'm wondering, I'm worrying, have we got the right person here? When John said the worst thing he could say publicly, what did Jesus say? Let me tell you something about John. No. He said, among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. When I say the worst thing I could say, and I do the worst thing I could do, you know what Jesus does? He says the best thing He can say about me. He still accepts me. Whoo, He still loves me.